Welcome to Two Chicks, Three Seats, the podcast that takes a look at the hospitality industry's hottest topics.
Two Chicks, Three Seats is hosted by Kate Kennedy and Rachel Calkins and is brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader in event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com. Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats. We hope that you all had a wonderful holiday and got the chance to relax with a nice festive cocktail at least once or maybe a few times.
Maybe like 12 times, 15 times.
That seems like the sweet spot.
Been a long 2.5 weeks.
Well, let it be known that I think I only drank like less than like 5 glasses of wine over the past 2 weeks.
You were sick.
I was sick.
I was also sick, but I made up for it when I felt better. And
yeah.
With 2 kids, Christmas it's fun and magical, but it's stressful. It is like, I'm so glad the holidays are over. Anyway, sorry.
No.
Happy 2023,
sure,
everyone.
I'm sure other people feel the same way too.
Oh,
with so work much. And family. Mm-hmm. But I mean, hopefully everyone had a little bit of time to relax and just regroup for this new year. But we just want to start saying also thank you to everyone for all your support listening to the show over the past year and counting. But we're excited to bring new interviews and new content into 2023 and lots of
new
episodes.
Is this our third year, Rachel? We started we started in January of 2020 or February. I forget. But I feel like it was like teetering on January, February of 2020, right? That's crazy.
Year three, here we come. I know it was right before the pandemic. And so obviously we have covered a ton of different topics since then with the changes in the industry. So more new stuff to come for the new year. But so to kick off 2023, we kind of wanted to bring it back to the basics for this episode and talk about, as you see in the title, 23 hospitality best practices to kick off 2023. And so these practices are going to be broken into 5 different categories, including restaurant sales best practices, event sales best practices, Triple Seat best practices, hospitality marketing best practices, and a few miscellaneous fun best practices at the end. So going a little like rapid fire style, I think this one will be fun.
I think so too. And we're going to kick it off with restaurant sales best practices. So the first one, number one on the list, is optimize your menu. So the new year is the perfect time to go back to the drawing board and think about how else you can enhance your menu in the coming year. You can start with a menu audit, and that's a great thing to do even quarterly, but definitely yearly. Like, is your menu just a mishmash of apps, mains, and desserts? Is there no sense of alignment among each item? Maybe you need to rethink some of the menu stars and also where they fall on the menu specifically. Like if you have one dish that's super popular, like also sometimes I like it when they bold, like the really like popular ones or like the house special ones, you know? I think that's a cute way to like call out the ones that are really popular, or if there's one that you really want to start selling more of, maybe you just bold it and pretend it's the most popular and then eventually it will become the most popular. But you know, like if you feel like your menu strategy has seemed to work well so far, then maybe the art of the physical menu doesn't apply to you and you can focus more on creating new items for the upcoming new seasons and start updating your menu with the seasons and what is most available locally. We're big on sustainability in the new year and, you know, farm to fork, if you will. So capitalizing on those items that are prevalent in your area during each season, I think is something fun you can do. And it's pretty easy, you know? I mean, your chef may not think so, but
I love those ideas. And sometimes I feel like from the outside, it seems like it would be obvious to update all the time. And I feel like for the most part, restaurants do that. But there's one restaurant that has come that I have in the back of my mind where I've been there multiple times and I love their food, but it's pretty much always the same menus. Yeah. And like, I love their food. So it would be really cool to see other things from them and like how they could do new dishes. Obviously, you know, if it's tried and true and people love it and it is a popular restaurant, then I guess I see why they stick to it. But I personally would be interested to see like a different thing from that specific.
Yeah. I get, especially when it's like a neighborhood restaurant where people go, like the same people go all the time. And sometimes it's hard because they'll be like, I can't believe you removed that item from the menu. Like, how could you do that to me? So it doesn't have to be drastic. It can just be adding one new thing to the menu. Or maybe if you don't already do it, think about having a weekly or even a daily, which would be even better, like specials menu, so that, you know, you can offer something new to people who are interested in having something new. And don't just make it, you know, a lot of times specials, people who don't work in restaurants probably didn't realize this, but a lot of times specials are built off of things that they want to get rid of. Right. So it's sometimes it's not the freshest ingredients on the specials list. I rarely order off the specials list unless it's a restaurant that does specials daily or weekly. Cause then I know like, this is their thing. This is just an addition to the menu. They ordered new food for this and they're preparing these things like as an addition to the menu, not just like, well, we need to get rid of the rest of the swordfish. So let's put it on special.
Okay. Okay. See, I didn't know that.
I've worked at both types of restaurants where like I've worked at restaurants where literally the specials are like they ordered special for it. You know, maybe it was something that was cheaper that week and it was a good deal and they ordered a bunch of like prime rib or something. And I've also worked at restaurants where like, you know, we have to get rid of this particular item. So let's put it on special. So just something to think about there. Not to scare anybody away from specials, but
no, good point. We're shouting out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. So number two is to create a loyalty program. So loyalty programs, I feel like they've become increasingly popular across a bunch of different industries, but also the hospitality industry. So mm-hmm. by encouraging like customer loyalty is what is the goal here with a loyalty program and building that sense of community, bringing back regulars, you know, knowing people as they come into your restaurant, same with the staff. And I feel like that's just a great way to make yourself as a staple in the neighborhood or in the community through a loyalty program. So there are a bunch of different ways that you can create loyalty programs to fit your specific business. So if you're a more casual restaurant, then maybe you give out like punch cards per visit or coupons in like a loyalty member newsletter that you have to subscribe to receive. That's a little more casual and less of a lift. Maybe for a more high-end restaurant, you have some sort of loyalty program that's through a point system that's based on dollars spent. And then you can redeem those for things further down the line. And maybe these loyalty members are eligible for other rewards throughout the year too, like kind of like an appreciate you for being our customer if you get to this many dollars spent throughout the year. So that's another a higher end example perhaps. And then I also think that I see this often too, and I think it's fun how some businesses with really special bar programs, they kind of create loyalty quote unquote clubs. In a sense through like a whiskey club or a wine club and where they, you know, the members are subscribing to get a bottle of something every month along with a couple other benefits. And so this is something that you're specifically signing up for and it is like a monthly cost. So, but it's another sense of like building that loyalty program with having people loyal to your brand and your product. So yeah, I love that one as well too.
Yeah. That's really cute. That's a really good idea. Kind of like, I feel like this sort of plays off of that is to sell branded products. So it's just another way that you can create a new revenue stream in 2023 by selling branded products. So if you're a restaurant, you know, maybe you can sell jars of your homemade sauce, like our favorite. Have you tried Carbone?
I didn't get it. Carbone. Yeah, we talked about this in the last episode, yeah, but I haven't yet.
So good. Okay. So good. You could also like, maybe you have like a special hot sauce or buffalo sauce, truffle oil, you know, something from like your top selling appetizer, but beyond food and drink products, you could create other merchandise that your loyal customers would, you know, would definitely want to wear, branded sweatshirts. And it's funny that this is on the list today, because earlier today I was on a call with our hotel marketing manager, Elizabeth, and she had on, a sweatshirt that just said Oysters across it. And I was like, that is so cute. Where did you get that? And she got it at Island Creek Oyster, which is a Triple C customer. Also, they own Row 34 in Portsmouth, which is where I am. So I was like, I'm going to go over to Row 34 and buy one of those sweatshirts. Yeah. It was so cute. But I think if you make it like something like that, like it literally was so simple. It just says like Oysters. And I think on the back, there's their logo, like really tiny on the back. So like, it doesn't have to be like, because, you know, maybe I didn't know that it came from that restaurant, but I like it. So I asked her and now I know. So I just think it's like a cute way, you know, to get your name out there and your branding. You could also do like hats, glasses, all kinds of, like, if you're known for beer, you could do beer glasses. If you're known for wine, do wine glasses, that sort of thing. There's a ton you could do. It doesn't have to be cheesy. And it's just another way that you can, you know, make more revenue. So
I love that. Love some merch.
Me too.
So number four for restaurant sales best practices is to tap into experiences in 2023. So if you haven't figured out yet or done yet any sort of experiential element into your everyday dining experience, then now is the time to maybe think about how you could incorporate some sort of experience into the dining room. Mm-hmm. So maybe just starting with the basics and thinking, okay, how can I incorporate literally any sort of experience around food and drink that goes beyond just serving someone a plate of food and a cocktail glass? So like, I know, I feel like some of these ideas can sometimes be seen as overdone because, you know, like you think about a Mexican restaurant, tableside guacamole, you can see that often. But if there's any spin that you can think of for what you offer that you could just have like one or two items on the menu that are sold just normal on a normal night in your dining room, these kind of opportunities are just another way for people to be taking photos of you and people to be, you know, shouting out on social media and overall just enjoying their experience at your restaurant even more. So just some quick thoughts here, like tableside service. So I love whenever I'm seeing like cheese wheels next to me at my table when I'm being served, cutting different meats during the dining experience. Like I said, tableside guacamole, different drink experiences with like flaming drinks, extra smoky drinks that, you know, you take off the cover and it's like all smoky, playing with different crazy colors to make it, you know, that worthy moment to be photographed. And then just some other kind of miscellaneous ones, just different creative styles of service, like making food yourself. So fondue style, having multiple courses on your menu was always a fun one. And then meals being made fully in front of you, like not even just at a hibachi sort of restaurant, but just other ways. I know there's people like making it themselves on like a little mm-hmm. grill and that's created into the table. So any sort of thing like that to make yourself stand out in that experiential realm, I think is super cool.
Yeah, love that. Everyone loves a good experience. Okay, so the next one, number five, we're going to move into a new section. And this one is event sales best practices. And the first one in here is update your event packet. So what do your marketing materials for your event spaces look like? In an ideal world, your business has a digital packet, of course, that shows floor plans, descriptions, and professional photographs of each of the event spaces in your venue. You can even have a link to a virtual video tour included in the packet. And these materials can help show your venue to prospects so that they can fully visualize what your space looks like. This is especially important if you do a lot of sales to like corporate people who may not be in the same state or even country for that matter. And they're coming here for a conference and they want to book, you know, a room, that sort of thing. So if your packet seems to be outdated or lacking in any way, then now is definitely the time to start improving it. And there are also a lot of, apps and stuff that you can use to take better photographs and videos and like add in links and stuff like that. So definitely time to get moving on updating your event packet in 2023.
Love that. Starting mm-hmm. fresh.
Starting fresh.
So number six is building relationships with local partners. So thinking and just kind of taking a mental check now to think, okay, how can I further expand upon the different vendor relationships in this new year? So maybe thinking about how your event packets and, you know, building this onto your event packet, you can be offering other give back initiatives. So I don't know, maybe this, I think of this in more of like a corporate sense, how like you mm-hmm. could offer some sort of local, like an opportunity for a corporate company to come in and also be working with some sort of other community, someone in your local community for some sort of give back initiative, and tying in that together. We talked around the holiday season about like other corporate give back things that like you could be offering in your event packet, whether that's like working with a food bank or like donations of sorts. And so working with other local partners in that area so that you could offer that as part of your event packets too. Also working with local small businesses in general that maybe offer a service that you don't, but it's still meaningful to your restaurant's core values. And just thinking about how you can diversify your vendor partners and working with new and diverse partners across the board is a good thing to keep in mind for the new year.
Definitely. And a lot of times those partners will add your link to your website on their website, which is something that we'll talk about further down the line here, but that's an important thing to think about in 2023 as well, like getting your website linked on as many other websites as possible so that customers can find you more easily. So
totally.
But the more partners you have, the more websites you'll be listed on. So number seven is pretty obvious for Rachel and I. It is invest in technology. So as an event professional, technology is going to be your savior to help you succeed in your job in 2023 and in, you know, future years, obviously. So if you're not using Triple C to manage your events right now, thanks for listening to us. But also, this is your sign that we will be your biggest solution, bringing you to the next level in 2023 and upping your revenue and streamlining your processes. So yeah, Triple C all the way in 2023. But we did poll some other event professionals about their favorite technology tools for the events industry. And some other favorites included Square, All-Seated, Hootsuite, Squarespace, MailChimp, OpenTable, Calendly, and Cvent. So beyond Triple C, you can check out those as well, but Triple C first.
So number eight is to look to your professional networks in the new year. So there's so many different professional event industry networks that you can tap into for assistance, for inspiration, for just overall networking purposes. And a lot of these networks have national and local chapters and are a great way for the industry to come together. So MPI, which is Meeting Planners International, EIC, which is Events Industry Council. I know Heels and Handshakes is the Nashville local chapter. That's awesome down there. And, you know, if you have others that you find super helpful and really valuable to your own career, always reach out to us and let us know. We'd love to learn about others. And those are just three that we're naming off the cuff here too. But there's lots of different ways that you can be connecting with those in your community and the greater country to improve your own connections and your career.
Yeah. We're always looking to sponsor some of those types of organizations. So if you are a member of some that are more local, like Rachel said, definitely let us know because we might be interested in giving them money. So number nine is to get creative with pop-up experiences. So pop-ups are a great way to grab the attention of customers and create urgency around an experience that won't be accessible once it's gone. So there are so many ways you can get involved in a pop-up experience. Maybe you are known for your impeccable cocktail program and you have a pop-up bar experience that is through a partnership with another local business. So you are providing the beverage while the other business provides the space or another valuable piece of the experience that you're offering. It's important, you know, expand your business beyond your establishment's four walls and get involved in relevant pop-ups in the new year. I'm sure there are a ton. If you have those relationships with those local vendors, they probably know of some as well. So I know Rachel has gone to some in New York. I'm sure there are some in Boston and even probably in New Hampshire that I could visit. But yeah, I think this is a great way to get your brand out there, to build awareness and just have fun in the new year for sure.
Totally. I love a pop-up and like me things too. That are like just for like a month or something and you have to go to see it, whether it's like an activation or other pop-up experiences with cocktails. There's so many fun ways that restaurants and bars can get involved in that.
Agreed.
So moving on to our next segment, we're going to talk about some Triple C best practices that you can be bringing into the new year. So to kick it off, number 10, utilizing different various lead forms. So the key here is different and various, you know, reiterating it twice. So the Triple C lead form is the holy grail feature that's going to help you manage the new leads coming into your venue. And so a crucial part of using the lead form, that if you're a customer, you know, with the lead form, is creating new and different lead forms for wherever you are marketing your guests, like whatever avenue that you're using to market your guests. So to break it down in simple terms, you want to be creating lead form A specifically for your website, creating lead form B specifically for, you know, a Valentine's Day email campaign going out in, say, mid-January. You're creating lead form C for the Instagram link in your bio. And the key here is that you're creating a unique lead form for each of the different cases that you're using, that you're talking about the lead form, and you're trying to bring in those prospective leads. And so then when you're creating each of these individual unique lead forms, you can see exactly where new leads are coming from. So say you got 5 from your website, you got 20 from that Valentine's Day email, and you got 100 from the link in your bio. You'll see where people are attracted to your lead form, and you can track that accordingly. And I think I didn't realize, I feel like sometimes this isn't utilized as best as it can be. And this is just a reminder to make sure that you are utilizing it and you are making those unique lead forms, because it's just going to help you in the long run. And it's not that hard to do.
No, it's super easy. And I mean, we do it at Triple Seat. We do it through Salesforce and Marketo, but obviously restaurants don't normally use software like that. And Triple Seat is a great avenue to be able to report on those things, which brings me to my number 11. Dive into reporting in 2023. So, you know, I think it's important every year, but if you haven't done it before, let's start this year to take the time to really look at the successes of your events by diving into the reporting features in Triple Seat. So a couple reports that we want to shout out, and our users probably know these already, but maybe you don't. So let's dive in a little bit. So number one is the highest earning events of 2022, and you can do this for any year. To do this, we'll go through the steps here. You're going to log into Triple Seat, obviously, click on reports, which is located on the left-hand navigation bar. You're going to scroll down to the event details report and click customize. You're going to set the date range for year to date, or you can adjust it if you're looking for ones in 2021 or a certain quarter. You're going to check off any event statuses, event styles, or owners you would like to be included in this report. And then next, you're going to click on grouping in the sorting tab, sort the data by actual, which is actual sales, and have the order to send. So you can optionally, you can click on the columns tab and adjust the data you'd like displayed on this report. And then you just click run report. Always remember to click run report at the end. So yeah, from this report, you can click on the names of the events to open the events on a new tab. You can go ahead and send a discussion message thanking the customer for their business in 2022 so that maybe you'll see them again in 2023. Or you can pull this report and then, you know, maybe add it to, if you use MailChimp or another email app, and you can add it there and send out like a bulk email, you know, asking customers to come back in 2023. Going off of the highest earning events of 2022 is the most booked contacts, which is also an important one to have an understanding of. So for this, you're going to scroll down to the most booked contacts report. This one's much easier to to run. You're going to click year to date, or, you know, pull any date that you want. And this report will show you your most loyal customers, totaling all of their events and the total revenue they have generated this year. Again, you can pull the contacts emails from these and send them marketing emails and do whatever else you'd like to do, or call them. There's always phone numbers in there too. You can do direct sales. Why not?
Love it.
I love it. So the next one is the most successful lead sources. And this is sort of similar to like the lead, like saying like which lead form works the best. This is going to tell you all the lead sources, not just the form, which work the best. So you're going to scroll to the lead conversion report, click year to date. And then once you're in the report, you can click customize, and then you can group the data by source. So now you can compare how successful your marketing efforts were this year. And this report will show you how many leads were received each day and what percentage of the leads moved forward to a definite event versus a non-definite event versus a lost event. And at the bottom of each group, you'll see totals such as the total revenue generated by Instagram leads this year, or by, you know, whichever like lead form that you were using. So that's a great way to see where your leads are coming from and to be able to gauge what you can do in 2023 to maximize your effort and increase revenue. It's always about increasing revenue.
Always. We love always. That.
It's based, what I just explained is basically what I do at Triple Seat.
And
part of it. Not
and
all
it's
of it.
So super fun. Reporting is fun.
Reporting analytics is so much fun.
It's important. That's
it is
important.
Very important. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So number 12 is to take advantage of Triple Seat's awesome partner integrations. So if you didn't know, Triple Seat integrates with over 20 plus partners that help to enhance the overall Triple Seat experience. You can see a total list of all the partners on our marketplace, which is tripleseat.com/marketplace. But I just want to shout out a couple of them. So for credit cards, we have a couple partners who are all awesome and provide slightly different services, but essentially will all help you with online credit card processing. So if you aren't using credit card processing in 2023, simply what are you doing?
Yeah, really?
Online payment. I mean, it's just like,
what's,
you
happening?
Know, where, what planet are we on now?
I mean, you're listening to a podcast and you don't use credit card payments.
Online payments clearly make your life as an event manager so much easier. And that's what we're all about in 2023. So there's no reason to be handling in-person payments these days. And so CCC integrating with various credit card partners such as Square, Clover Connect, and Stripe will help you do that job for you. So you can learn more about each of them on the marketplace and figure out who will suit you best. Another partner that we want to shout out is Merry. So consider a platform like Merry to help you with 3D floor plan mapping in 2023. So Merry helps you with creating a 3D model of what your venue would look like so that guests can visualize essentially every element from silverware to lights to tablescapes on a 3D model before they're actually at the event. So this is a super helpful tool, and it will integrate with your events in CCC so that you have, you know, different floor plans for all the events that you're working on when you have this Merry integration set up. Mm-hmm. And then a final one to shout out is Connect. And Connect, K-E-N-E-C-T, is a business texting solution for the hospitality industry that, you know, can help you as you're monitoring your different notifications and communications. So check that one out as well. And again, the whole list of partners is on our marketplace, and there are always more being added too. So make sure you're like constantly checking back and seeing what else is up to date. So
it's crazy that we have more than 20 partners and integrations, because I remember just like 3 short years ago, we had like 5.
Yeah, there's so many. I was counting too as I was putting that section together that we do in fact have over 20, and like I said, more to come in 2023 too. So,
well, speaking of integrations, let's talk about your updating your EventUp listing. Super important. So if you didn't know, well, you should know, but if you didn't know, EventUp is CCC's own venue directory. And as a CCC customer, if you are one, you get a free listing on EventUp. And what happens is a planner searches EventUp and can submit an inquiry for your event space, and it will come into your CCC dashboard. So the listing is a living, breathing representation of your venue. So you want to make sure it is the most updated and optimized representation of who you are. Go in and add as many high quality photos as you can. I cannot. How many non-high quality photos get uploaded into EventUp is a scary statistic that we just want to stop happening. So high quality photos. Anyways, update all the descriptions, add info about your amenities and other details that help shine light even brighter on your venue. Super important. So any edits to your EventUp listing can be made by going into your CCC settings, then go to EventUp under leads and EventUp, and then you will see your listing either turned on or off, and you can click edit to update your information. It's really easy. And we have people that, you know, you can reach out to support if you want, if you need more information. And there's definitely CCC University videos on that, blog posts on that. There's lots of stuff on that to help you update your EventUp listing, which is super important. And I don't mean to make fun of people who don't have high quality photos, but it's unbelievable how many restaurants just like have like an old phone and like take like their general manager just takes random photos of the restaurant. And like, it's better to have no photos.
I wanted to roll back 1 minute to that creepy laugh that you let out as you were laughing at the fact that there are so many bad photos out there. And I just,
because as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, now I feel bad.
And that's it was funny. Well, we're all improving ourselves in the new year. So if you feel like trying to personally victimize anyone, but
no, I mean, if you look back at my Facebook post from like 2011, you would not want to ever hang out with me ever again. So it's okay. It's okay. We've all made mistakes.
Yeah, we'll put that. That's its own new bullet. We're putting 24 new best practices for the new year. And this one is its own, is high quality photography from a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. That's staple for like literally everything, for social, for your event packets. That's like a crucial thing that if you don't have that, make sure you have that now.
And it doesn't like, it's going to, you're going to get the ROI is going to, it's going to be like so quick, and it's worth every penny. And chances are most people know somebody who's really good at photography and they don't even know they do. Like there's probably someone who works at your restaurant who like does photography on the side, or like is really good at it. Maybe it's not their job on the side, but they're probably really good at it. You know, you can like just do better. That's all I'm saying.
I'm inspired. Okay. So moving into marketing best practices is our next category. For number 14 is get on TikTok.
Very important.
Three simple words. Get on TikTok. Got your restaurant, your event venue, catering company, wedding business, you as a professional corporate event planner on to TikTok. Mm-hmm. TikTok has, I looked it up, over 1 billion monthly users, which Jesus. Is less than Instagram, I think, which is about 2 billion. But consider TikTok just came people. About.
Yeah. And like old people, like my parents aren't on TikTok yet, but they're on Instagram. Like right. it, but it takes a while. Like they were only on Facebook for a little while. And now, well, my mom, not my dad, but like now they're on, my mom's on Instagram and eventually she'll probably be scrolling through TikTok, you know?
Right. So it's just like, it goes to show it's, we all thought at first it was just the young kids and now the adults are on it and soon we'll have the elderly on too.
The elderly? Well, they are. My parents are in their 80s. Shout out to Harriet Caruso for being able to scroll through Instagram and know what she's doing at the age of 80.
That's so impressive.
It is
so impressive. I love it. But yeah, TikTok video on TikTok is going to be the platform in 2023. It's not just for entertainment. Like we're way past that stereotype of TikTok being like the quote dancing platform. It is where people go to seek recommendations, advice, ideas, which are all conversations that your hospitality business can be part of. So I do this all the time. I know my friends do this all the time. A simple search for like a restaurant in New York City. I do the search on TikTok and that could turn me into a new customer to that local restaurant. Someone searching for 2023 winter wedding trends could turn into a new wedding booked if you're posting about wedding trends as a wedding planner or a wedding venue. If you're searching, someone searching for like event experiences or like corporate experiences, maybe you offer something unique like golf simulator, that sort of thing, or other corporate experiences that you can have at an event. Someone could find you simply because you're posting about that and that's what they're looking for on TikTok. So yeah. TikTok is the place. It's way more powerful than I feel like sometimes people even realize. And it's so influential and like a lot of decision-making, a lot of ideas. So getting yourself on there in front of all those users is going to be crucial and you don't want to get left behind. So
no, you don't want to be left behind.
No.
Addicting is what it is. It's scary and addicting, but definitely get on it. I always say like at the beginning of this year, I was like, I'm gonna stop scrolling on social media so much. And then I was like, I work in marketing. I can't stop scrolling it. It's part of my job.
Hey, that is number 18 on this list. So I'm going to get there and show support for all of us in marketing too.
Okay. I appreciate it. Cause every time I say that to myself, I'm like, no, I can't. Like I literally right. can't. I use it for work. It's not going to happen.
Yes.
And then I'm
speaking
like,
from the social media
God, I don't want to leave. So next one up is number 15, email marketing. I could go on about email marketing for like 10 years, but I won't. I have three bullet points here. Keep it short. So I think like sending email promotions to your mailing list 1 to 2 times a month is important to stay top of mind. Try to incorporate anything that's going on at your venue, obviously, like if you're having Valentine's Day specials, if you're doing like Super Bowl specials or Easter dinner, Mother's Day, like whatever the holiday or season may be, or if you have a new menu, you can send out, you know, an email about your new, you know, event, your new event packet. Once you get that done, you can send that out to all of your past clients and try using a triple C email partner to send out your emails. Cause then you can pull reports and send emails more easily like MailChimp, Personica or Constant Contact, a couple of great options there. And like we said before, pull your reports from triple C to create more targeted email lists, like repeat clients who booked at a certain time of year, you know, of like sometimes a good one is like sending like people who had like weddings or rehearsal dinners. If you do like other events like baby showers, like sometimes waiting a year or two and sending out those types of announcements, because it's not just for them, but then like if somebody got married in like, you know, 2022, chances are in 2023 or 2024 they have friends who are having babies. Like it's always like follows that same line. So it may sound silly, but it could get you some more business for other types of events. And also something to note, subject lines, like just make sure, like if you're pulling in, you know, if your emails use like, you know, first name here, and like you're pulling in information that way, make sure it actually works, like send tests, because like the worst thing ever is if you get a subject then it's like, instead of saying like, hey, Kate, like we thought you'd like this deal. It's like, hey, enter first name here.
Oh God, cringe.
It's happened to me a bunch of times from restaurants and it's like, It's just, I feel bad, but it's like awful. So like, don't use it if you're not 100% sure it's going to work the way it's supposed to work. Or if you're not 100% sure that your list has all first, like has every first name,
right,
or an option to put like there, like, hey there, instead of like, hey, first name, like whatever, just make sure it works. And subject line in general is important. I think like a lot of people just don't spend a lot of time in the subject line because they think the body of their email is so amazing, but no one's going to see the body of the email if the subject line sucks. That's just the way it is. I once did a webinar with Jono on and Azure on selling, on like sales, like email tactics and, you know, cold calling tactics, and Azure did like the social media portion of it. And I used a quote from Eminem. Did you listen to that, Rachel?
I'm sure I did, but it's not coming to my mind. Like, I remember, okay, this. Yes.
You only get one shot and one opportunity. That's a subject line. You just get one shot, one opportunity, and like that's it. Like that's
to change
like,
every moment. Yeah.
I know. Now I forget like the rest of the song. You get one chance, one. I don't know. I'm not gonna go through the whole song right now. But yeah,
it's true. But
that's
it's
the
true.
Subject line. You get one shot. Otherwise, you're just gonna delete it, and they're never gonna see the amazing body of your email. So, you know,
words of wisdom.
Kate's words of wisdom.
Kate's
over here
also
from
a rapper.
If you didn't know, on the side.
Love it. Okay. Number 16 is easy marketing, quote, design platforms for non-designers. So there are so many platforms out there that can help you or someone on your marketing team, if this isn't necessarily your realm, to create designer level marketing graphics without any sort of design experience. And so I talk about this a bit in like the marketing presentations I do to our CCC customers in our TSU on the road segments, but Canva is a really awesome free tool that you can try, or there's a premium level as well, but it helps you make super professional looking graphics that you can post on social media, you can post in your ads, any sort of promotions, and it's super easy to create without having that, you know, you're not a professional designer, you don't need that experience because everything in the tool is super non-designer friendly. And to name off a couple others that I always mention in this marketing presentation, along with Canva, PicStitch, PicMonkey, those are like different kind of versions for creating different photo graphics or edits or like collage sort looking things for video, Adobe Premiere Rush, CapCut, Magisto, Wave, all of these platforms, whether it's for photo or video, have different built-in tools that can help you make these professional looking graphics or videos that you can be posting in your own marketing efforts. So
love it. So number 17 is SEO, and this is to ensure that your restaurant appears on Google and other search engines. If you didn't know what SEO is, it's search engine optimization, but a lot of people don't work in marketing don't really understand what it is, but it's very important. So a strong online presence for your restaurant is no longer optional, and that is definitely true. Customers need to be able to find you quickly and easily and across multiple platforms and search engines. Especially if you use online ordering or the CCC lead form. So 2023 is the year to start investing time in search engine optimization, or if you have already invested some time, it's time to invest more. It is more important than most people think or know it is. So SEO may sound scary and really technical, but I promise it's not. It's part of my job, and I am not a tech person. So if I understand it and I can do it, you can do it, believe me. So if you start with a few simple practices, you can increase the traffic coming to your website, increase your online orders and or your private event inquiries, build your brand awareness, and ultimately increase your revenue, which again is what we're all after in 2023. So first things first, you need to build out a keyword plan. So keywords are the target search terms you want your restaurant's website to rank for on like Google and Bing and all those things. So these can be single words like steak, but usually, like especially for restaurants, they're phrases. So like best steak in Boston is an example. From there, you can use a free keyword planning tool to help you get other keywords that are similar to the ones you've already chosen, because you're going to have a ton of keywords and you're not going to come up with this list on your own, believe me. So these tools are free, and they're free versions, you know, like with everything, there are free and paid versions, but the free versions are great. Some of these tools are Google Keyword Planner or SEM Rush, which is something that we used to use at CCC. So when thinking up keywords, you want to think about who your customers are and what their pain points are or what they're looking for. So like for example, if you're a sports bar, then your customers could be like 20 to 40 year olds looking to watch football games with friends, right? So then think about what they are looking for and build keywords and phrases off of that. For example, sports bar in Boston, or where to watch the Patriots game in Boston, et cetera. So those can be like your phrases. So also make sure you, the second thing would be to make sure you optimize your restaurant for local searches. So add your website to all directories and social media platforms with the same standardized company information. So these directories that I'm talking about include Google My Business, Yelp, TripAdvisor, and there are a bunch of others out there that you can Google and find out. Google. See, we use Google for everything. So even though it pains me to say this, because everyone, if you're a listener from the past, you know I hate restaurant review sites or review sites in general. But studies have shown that having reviews and search results can increase your click-through rate. And your click-through rate is when traffic customers come and see your ad and click through to your website. So that's what you want, right? You want more traffic to your website. So studies have shown, that doing like having more reviews on these sites can increase that rate. So Google actually also uses reviews as an indicator when ranking local search results. So Google will show the highest rated restaurants first. So it's important to get those reviews and get good reviews for sure. And I know in some cases you can't help the bad reviews because people suck, but just try. Lastly, get other websites to link to your website. I talked about this earlier with the partner, having, you know, better local partners, vendor partners. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. They may link to, you know, your website and vice versa. You can link their website on your website. But link building is another big factor in search engine optimization. So basically, link building is exactly what it sounds like. It's getting other websites to link back to your site. And the more links you have from other reputable websites, the more your site will appear in searches for your target keywords. So it is important and it's easy to do. So definitely try to get that done. And actually, there's one more thing, and this is super important, especially today. Make your website mobile friendly. You want to ensure that customers can find you no matter what device they are searching. So just make sure that your website is mobile friendly. And if you do your website on your own, you know, whether it's through WordPress or Unbounce or whatever you use, there's an option to like optimize it for mobile. And if you use like an agency to do your website, just make sure that they're optimizing every piece of your website on mobile. So, and the Triple Seat lead form is optimized for mobile. So important.
Kate, the SEO guru spitting facts over here. Woo! For you.
Spitting facts. I could go on and on. There's like 12 more things I could have listed here, but we have 23 things to go through. So we could do a whole that episode on SEO. And when Rachel asked me to add SEO, I was like, oh, fine.
And here we are.
It's because I live and breathe it. So I'm like, oh, fine, I'll add it. But it is important. It's super important. So
yeah, here we are. It is. Okay. Number 18 is, as I hinted before, take the time to scroll through social media to see what is happening right now. So maybe this one also applies more to your marketing team than you, if you're listening and you're not on the marketing side, but it can also apply to anyone with an interest in social media and the hospitality industry. So take the time to scroll through Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok to see what other businesses are posting about right now and what social media practices they're following. So if you follow a restaurant that posts videos highlighting all of their staff and you think that it looks super cool, then pass that info on to your marketing team as a note that, you know, staff features could be a fun thing for you to do. It's not copying. You're just drawing inspiration. You can have your own twist on it that would fit with your own restaurant and your own culture. So that's a fun thing to keep in mind. And, you know, the way that you see what is trending through social media is by scrolling through social media. So kind of, you don't have to be, I'm thinking of it more as like when I go through, I'm scrolling with like an intention of looking for trending sounds, trending actions, images, all those sorts of things that are trending, you know, with the seasons, with the quarters, everything like that. As things emerge, people start, social media just is changing all the time. So making sure that you're on top of what is happening at the moment it's happening on social media is important. And taking the time in your week to intentionally scroll looking for those things is a thing that you should be doing in the new year. Yeah.
I like it. That's why I scroll through social media all day. Not all day. Just kidding. All night, really. Moving on to the miscellaneous category here. Number 19 is mental health check-in. So this one is a more serious point here, but we want to make sure that all of our hospitality professional listeners out there start the year off, the new year off, with a mental health check-in. We know that there are so many challenges that can come about in the industry. And, you know, we all love the industry, but we know it's stressful. And, you know, we've all, a lot of us have been there. It's a very stressful environment to work in. So make sure that you are looking out for yourself and for others in this new year. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Very important point to make. I think that goes for everybody in every industry, especially this week, which is like the week after everyone's been off, or most people have been off for Christmas and New Year's and stuff. It's like a slap in the face, right? It's like, oh my God, the holidays are over. It's freezing in most places. It gets dark at 3:30.
Let's all be kind to one another.
To celebrate. And in the hospitality industry, like, January is pretty slow. It is. And it's a good time to do all these other things that we put on the list. And this also gives you the opportunity to do a mental health check-in because you have the time now. You, like, you're mm-hmm. slowed down. You could probably all use a breather. But it can be stressful. It's you know, holidays are stressful. And then this is a stressful time because it's like, now what? Yeah. Use this list for the now what, and make sure you do a mental health check-in for yourself and for your teammates as well, for your colleagues. It's important. Check in on everybody.
100% agreed. Mm-hmm. I'll check in on you, Kate.
Oh, I'll check in on you.
I like it. So number 20 is to stay up to date with industry publications. So, you know, you can count us chicks to give you the latest on as many of the happenings in the hospitality and events industry as we can, but also when you can check in on other publications for yourself too, because there's always things coming out literally every day that are noteworthy and can help you just, you know, as you are on your event professional journey in your career. Some of our favorite event industry publications include that talk about, you know, industry news and trends include Eater, Biz Bash, Eventbrite, Punch, Drink, Style Me Pretty for wedding inspiration, Food 52, Great Recipes, and Triple Seat's own blog, just to name a couple of them. And if you have others that you love, we'd love to hear that too, because we're always looking for new publications to follow along with to get our own facts from. So
yes, definitely. All right. Well, number 21 is one that rings true for me when I worked in hospitality as an event manager, is organize your office. So office spaces in restaurants are pretty tight. That's to say the very least, like very, very small, very cluttered, very messy, very smelly, very of all the things that aren't great. So consider yourself beyond lucky if you and your general manager do not share an office. If you're the event manager and you have your own office, like that's not common, especially in smaller brands, you know, and even in like larger big brands. Like the thing is that offices and restaurants don't make money, right? Seats do. So like, that's the last thing they think about. Right. Sometimes they're in the basement. Sometimes they're in like the attic. That's actually happened to me. Sometimes they're just like in like right next to the wines or like behind the kitchen. Like they're always in like the worst spots, to be honest with you. So anyways, more common than the offices being tight are the offices being very messy. So like dusty shelves with like old menus, event sheets, payroll slips, just like thrown about, like last week's family meal, like with a fork on it up on the counter, promo liquor bottles, like just so much shit. It's so crazy. Like, and I'm neat. And I just remember when I worked as an event manager, I was actually lucky enough to have my own office separate from the general manager and the assistant general manager, but it was also attached to the coat room. So like there was a door between the coat room and my office, but they were attached.
Right.
So like literally on a busy weekend, I would come like after a busy weekend, I would come back into my, on Monday, like come into my office and there would be like coat hangers, just like all over my office because the poor coat check girl, it was like, you know, 1,000 coats. And she like is trying to like just one girl. And like, I couldn't even be mad because I was like that poor thing, you know, I hope she made good money. Cause like, yeah. That's the worst. It's like, yeah, I have actually a funny, I'm going to tell this one funny story about my office. So I was big on decluttering my office, like quarterly, monthly, definitely yearly. Like every, at the beginning of every year, I deep clean my office when I worked in the same restaurant. And like, that's what I'm saying to do now is to deep clean it at the beginning of 2023. You'll feel so much better. But funny story, I came in to deep clean my office the like 3 days after New Year's Eve. I don't even, it was like 2010. Like that's how long ago it was. And we had had Barstool Sports, we had like a Barstool Sports event at the bar I worked at, right? And it was like, we sold tickets, like this big New Year's Eve Barstool Sports event. And there were these models that Barstool Sports had that came in and weren't wearing any clothes. They were spray painted. So they had like body paint on, and that was the only thing they were wearing. Literally the only thing they were, there was like 20 of them, right?
Yeah.
Just walking around. I don't even remember what they did. I think they did. I don't remember.
Look pretty.
So, yeah. So shout out to Dave Portnoy, the owner of Barstool Sports. He was part of the crew that helped decide what the models were going to be painted as, right? Like he was like, yeah, this one should have this on. And this is when Barstool Sports was a lot smaller than it is now. And so he used my office because it was the biggest office. And he was like, can I use your office to spray paint the models? And I was like, sure, no problem. So like there was paint kind of everywhere, but like I cleaned up most of it because I was working that night, obviously. And then I went to do my bar shift and it was a long one. And I had events going on and I worked the bar and managed my events. And it was a crazy night, right? We were all drunk by the end of the night and it was whatever. So I go home with all my money at like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm like thinking everything's great, but I didn't go in my office. I went in the general manager's office and I didn't even go in my office at the end of the night. Anyways, I come in 4 days later, there's paint everywhere. There's body paint every, like there's the outline of a girl's butt on top of my desk. That's how
Jesus
much
Christ.
Because I think they went in there, all their clothes were in there. So they went in there, changed, and they were just rubbing up against everything. And there was body paint on the walls. Like there was glitter all over my floor. Like it was like, oh my God.
That is insane.
But yeah, like the bar I worked at was one of the first bars to support Barstool Sports, like in Boston. So we did a lot of promos with them like through the years. And that was one of the last ones we did because he kind of blew up after that. Like I feel like that's when everything started to blow up. And like that was pretty much the last event that we did like with like the whole team. Barstool Sports team at the time was only like 5 people. It's crazy. But
so funny. But yeah,
it is funny because I just remember I was like, I can't be mad because we made so much money.
Right.
But like I also like want to kill somebody.
Right.
Like,
so moral of the story, you can donate your office space, but maybe you'll get a great client from it, but then just clean it up after and you'll feel mentally better about everything.
Yes, clean up your office. Anyways, that was my biggest, the point of that story is that was my biggest new year, new me cleaning of my office.
It was
definitely easier most years, but I even do that. Like I did that at home this past weekend. I like cleaned up all of my stuff at my home office. I did that this morning when I came into my office here in Portsmouth. I think it's just, it's important, you know, it gives you a better mental state all over.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yes. Okay, so we're almost done with our list here. Almost number done. 22 is to show appreciation for your employees/team. So this is something that, you know, maybe you already took care of it during the holiday season, but if not, then maybe this is a reminder to show extra appreciation for your employees in the new year. So maybe you are in that downtime now, or you have a couple other last holiday events for January. But once you're done with the busyness of the busy season, just maybe set up an impromptu little employee appreciation gathering or event so your employees know how much you appreciate their hard work and dedication to the business. And even just the smallest of gestures can go a long way. And employee overall appreciation is important.
Absolutely. Very, very important. I like that one.
Yay.
I like them all, but all right, so number 23, here we are. And of course we usually start on cocktails, but this year we're gonna this episode, not this year, that was weird. This episode we are going to end with cocktails. So update your cocktail menu. We put this under miscellaneous because we did talk about updating your food menu at I think it was number one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's funny. Now we're ending with this one. But you know, I think we talked mainly about food. So just something miscellaneous to throw in here. You might want to think about updating your cocktail menu, or if you don't have one, then you might want to add one. And beer list too. This goes for a beer list as well. So like have you had the same cocktail list for an entire year or maybe longer? So it's time to think about updating your list with the seasons, I think would be a good idea. You don't have to be a mixologist, believe me, to offer delicious cocktails that fall in line with whatever the weather is outside and whatever you have locally. Or maybe, like I said, you don't have a cocktail list at all yet because you don't think of yourself as that kind of bar. But let me tell you, like anyone in any type of establishment with a liquor or cordial license can offer specialty cocktails. It's just another way to offer something that, like, you'll be surprised. People will order them. Like, some people may laugh at them if you're not that type of bar, but There are people, I promise you, that will order them. And if you're looking for suggestions, you know, if you're not, like I said, the type of place that has like a mixologist or someone who thinks of themselves as a mixologist and, you know, everywhere is different, like ask your liquor reps, because a lot of times they'll provide recipes and even printed cocktail menus if you allow them to brand them with their brands that they offer. So you can even get a decent liquor discount if you feature brands that they're trying to sell more of. And there's always, believe me, there are always contests going on with liquor reps, like liquor sales, to see who can sell the most of something like every month or every quarter. So capitalize on that. If you only serve beer, you know, instead of cocktails, maybe it's time to dive into the world of craft beer and offer up some local and national options. And don't be afraid to serve something besides, you know, Budweiser, Molson, and Miller Lite. As much as we love those brands, maybe it is time to like expand your horizons. And there are some like what they call like craft beers that fall under those brands, but let's be honest, they're not really craft beers.
Totally.
But if you already serve craft beer, maybe it's time to like tap into new local options or get something that's more obscure, you know, just flip them around a lot and offer more. And it doesn't have to be just, I know IPAs are like, everyone's like, you know, been like into IPAs now for like the past couple of years, like 5 years, I guess at this point. And I love IPAs, but a lot of people don't. There are other options, you know, you can do wheat beers or stouts, especially in the winter. It's a great option. There are a lot of like pilsners that are like specialty craft pilsners. Yeah, look and see what's, there's a lot of light beer specials, like cider, you know, I mean, I could go on and on. Seltzers, don't be afraid of seltzers. There's some good, like, again, there's good options beyond like Truly.
I love it. I love it. I love seeing the fun cocktails people offer and like, you know, things that you can't necessarily get in other places, you know.
Exactly.
Here's to new drinks in the new year if you're not doing dry January. New drinks.
Oh, and you can also add, you know, you can also like support those who don't drink and start offering some, you know, mocktails on the list.
That's a great, that's honestly, that's
alcoholic beers, you know.
That's a great idea. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well, we are hope that we inspired you with some new ideas for the new year and just a little, I feel like everyone always likes to bring it back to the basics when you're starting off, just checking in on, you know, the years get so busy. It's sometimes you forget these simple things that are just like best practices for how you should be doing your job as best as you can. So
yeah, for sure. Agreed.
We hope you enjoyed and we're excited to talk with you and have a great year together. So happy 2023.
2023. I can't believe it. Here we are. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Two Chicks, Three Seats, your events industry podcast, brought to you by Triple Seat, the industry leader for event management software.
Find out more about Triple Seat at tripleseat.com.